Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa. Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Doo doo da da ya da 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 da.
Usually, dogs get like excited when they hear singing. Bella just goes right to sleep.
When she starts she's like, not
hearing
again.
Your intro.
Not again. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the wonderful world of Come to Papa. I am your buddy, Tom. My pal, Paul, is sitting right across from me. Bella, as is just noted, is passed out on the ground. This dog is exhausted. She's gone for two walks. She's gone up in the mountains. She is done. And, you know, I put her to bed early last night. I put her to bed around 10 o'clock, and she's, you know, and then got up and decided, normally I just do my early morning stuff without her, but I want to see her. So I opened up the thing at 7 o'clock, and she's shot for the rest of the day. She needs to start her day around 10. She's like Sinatra. She needs to sleep until noon and then rage through the night.
Yeah, she's like the mascot, like... You know, they get all excited every time somebody comes up to the door, and then she by the afternoon, she's just like mailing it in. Like when she came in the door when I was there, she's just like, I made the effort.
Yeah.
And then I'll go back to
I'm
sleep.
I'm here. Getting on a plane to go to New Jersey. Everybody that is within, I'd say, 500 miles of Ramapo, New Jersey, North Jersey, my old stomping grounds. Thursday night, me and Rachel Feinstein and I are going to be doing the big City Green fundraiser at the Sharp Theater at Ramapo College. My sister is calling and complaining that we have to sell more tickets, and she's riding my ass. Like, I have to do the marketing also. It's not enough that I get on a plane and come and do an hour and a half of stand-up comedy and get one of the best comedians in the business to come out of the city with me. But I also have to sell the damn thing. So people, please, tell your friends that are in New Jersey. This is a great night of comedy. It's a great theater. It's a great cause. And it's the cause not only goes to saving... all of the people that work at City Green, but it also saves my ass for the rest of the holidays, for the rest of the year.
I think that's in place of birthday presents.
Oh, my God. Come on. She just had her birthday, and I sent her flowers. And now she's calling up like, we only have 150 tickets sold. Can you get on it? Get on it. I just had a colonoscopy, went to the dentist, made two loaves of bread, bagels for the children. How much more does a man have to do?
That's about it. You can drop out. You need to drop off the grid, Tom.
Well, not until this big shindig is over. So Thursday night, I need people to go online right now and buy tickets. You know what? If you live in Omaha or Colorado, we have friends that listen to this in Minneapolis. We have people that listen to this in Ireland. And... Scandinavian countries and people by the equator and a couple Australia. People at the South Pole. Two people from Australia, you listen. Buy a ticket and don't go. Buy a ticket. It'll count as a donation, and my sister will be happy and I will live in peace.
That's what they should do, is have some kind of like donate thing on there.
They do. Buy a ticket or donate. Just go to my website. Click on tomorrow, which is the 6th, 3-6, Ramapo, New Jersey, the Sharp Theater, Ramapo College, and just do it. Please, just do it. Look, if you want me to do something, I'll do it. I just sent out bread to one of our listeners today. Went to a stupid mailbox place, wrapped it up, and sent it.
You know who worked me yesterday?
Who?
Those goddamn Girl Scouts.
I am sitting on, I think, 5 cases of Girl Scout cookies. They hit everyone in our family, and everyone said,
man,
yes.
Man, how do you say no? I was walking in the into the mall, and they were just out there.
Yeah.
And it just brings back so much joy. Do-si-dos, Samoas.
The nice Thin Mint, the classic. I know.
And
you got to do it.
And they're like,
it.
We take credit cards, too, that you can always use the excuse, I have money on me.
Yeah, I know. Now they're all electric. They're ready to go. But you know what? Screw the Girl Scout Jamboree fundraiser. We got to help City Green. So get on and buy this ticket.
That's what I mean.
And then, if that's not enough, if you want to follow us like the Grateful Dead, meet me at Ramapo on Thursday. And then get in your VW microbus and head to Fargo, North Dakota for Friday night show with Paul and I. And then follow us as we drive from Fargo to Bismarck. That's right. In 10-degree weather, Paul and I will be cruising in the coldest part of the United States of America. I was just in Minneapolis. It was minus 12 for Live From Here last weekend. I took a walk around the block, one block, two blocks. Around the third corner, I started to panic. Like, what if this was blocked off? Should I go further? I have to turn back. I could die out here. Mm. I literally got nervous. Like, I might not make it back. It's that cold.
So it's the coldest you've ever experienced?
No. One time I was in North Dakota, and I forget where it was. It was only like 3 cities, but I was in one of them with Seinfeld, and it was minus 40 with the wind. And it was like the wind, the cold was coming through the hotel. It was that cold. Like, you had to sleep with all your clothes on and just whipping through. I have a feeling, you know, you go, you fly in, you get dropped off, you do the show, you get a car, you're right back at the airport. You and I are going to be driving straight shot about 3 hours from Fargo to Bismarck.
Snow sled. We should get a dog team.
We better hope there's good weather. We better hope there's nothing coming from the sky. And also, I've lost a little weight lately. You have not.
No.
So if we're in trouble, you're the one that gets eaten.
No, I think I can take you now because
I'm
losing
too
the weight.
Scrawny. You don't want this. This is like eating an old chicken wing. Then the following week, I come back up there. This is an insane, insane winter routing. Come home for a second and then go back to St. Paul for Live From Here. Then we go to Boise, Idaho and Bozeman, Montana. If you look at the map on my website, it literally is everything along the Canadian border. Then we finally cool off, warm up and go to Dallas and then a bunch of other dates. So go and do it. Sign up, please. The City Green thing, you got to help me out with this one. You know, I don't normally beg, but I am begging now. Just make some sales. Tell your people that live near there. It is a great charity. So just go on the damn website and do it. And I'm going to check. I'm going to post this in about an hour, and I'm going to check. And if it's, if I hear from my sister, you're all.
You should go on Facebook Live and start bugging people.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Just make them keep.
Why do I have to?
Well, that's what I mean.
There's farmers and all these other people that can be doing it.
Well, as long as
I'm telling the jokes.
You.
I'm. All right. Well, that's enough of the housekeeping, as the other podcasts say. And make sure you join Patreon and help us subscribe, because that helps us keep the lights on. So yesterday, and I don't want to really get into it, but I went for a colonoscopy yesterday, and
surprise, surprise, Tom. I get glasses, you start wearing glasses. I get a colonoscopy, you start following the trend.
Well, you're a trendsetter, Paul. What can I tell you?
You're following the wrong ones.
I tried to follow your Nike thing. I bought big, cool sneakers, and they just look stupid on me. So I go for this silly colonoscopy, and very exciting. that I met my goal weight, which I've been working on. You know, I'm trying to keep everything dialed in and make sure my heart doesn't Luke Perry. And you heard what happened to him?
Stroke.
Luke Perry, yeah. Sad news. So, you know, you got to take care of yourself. You got to do the things. So my, I always, you know, keep a tab because my family have blood pressure stuff. And I'm in a good zone and want to keep it that way. So I'm like, the biggest thing you can do for your health is just shed weight. So I've been doing that while still eating a healthy amount of bread, which I do want to talk about. Someone gave me amazing bread this week. And almost, I want to hit, like, I want to hit 194, which is what, when I was younger, that was like, I never wanted to go higher than 194. And that was always like, okay, if I'm around there, I'm in good shape. And that's, you know, 10, that's 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like hovering, like 196, struggling, running, not eating, doing all this stuff. Colonoscopy prep, pow, pow, 193. I was so happy.
Well, and I'm glad you found joy in it because you had the craziest schedule. Like, people always tell me that I have a crazy schedule. I'm like, Tom's doing two other trips than me usually.
Yeah,
per week. So you came back, you rushed back 6 hours earlier than I did just to get ready for a colonoscopy.
Yeah, well, right. Well, I went to Minneapolis first.
Oh yeah,
when
yeah.
I left you in Philly, I went to Minneapolis, did the radio show, took an early, had to stop eating, whatever, did all that. So anyway, I don't want to get into all the ins and outs of the thing that we're all supposed to do, so they can get your polyps out and you can live a healthy, long life. According to Katie Couric. Funniest part of the whole thing. You put on a gown that has no back. You're laying there with a lot of electrodes tied on you, and you're in a vulnerable position. You're laying there with your little hospital-given socks.
You're in the Titanic position, they call it.
Yeah.
On the couch, laying.
And the anesthesiologist says, "Hey, big fan."
Oh, man.
You did that joke about your head being the same size it is now as when you were... Yeah, that was me. Jeez. And so he hooks me up to the anesthesia, which is the same stuff Michael Jackson had. Propofol?
Yeah.
And he doesn't ask me to count or anything. I took it upon myself. I said, I can't even remember what the punchline was for that joke. And he just nodded like, "And you're not going to remember it now." And that was the last thing I remember.
Yeah, they like messing with people that do it.
Yeah.
But it's funny that you... Yeah, I don't know why. When I did it, they were basically like, "We don't want you to go all the way out." They made that seem like that was bad. And so...
It's interesting because they were... The guy next to me, he just got there, and they were asking him if he wanted to go all the way out or not out. And they were convincing him to go all the way out.
Yeah, because I would want to go out for the dentist, you know? Like, I'd go out for
anything. It's such a treat. I mean, you know, you don't even feel high. You're awake, and then your wife is there looking at you.
Yeah, that's what I told the lady, because she's like, "We want to keep you on the edge of consciousness." And I was like, "Oh, yeah." So I'm just on the edge of being horrified.
So you remember the whole thing?
I don't, but I remember being in there looking at the screen. And then I remember them wheeling me out.
Interesting.
Like, it was pretty close to, like, almost everything.
Yeah, I was out. I mean, really out. I can't believe that this is the stuff Michael Jackson was using to go to bed at night.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
Does it work?
Still sleeping. He's still sleeping. And he would be very happy to be asleep right now with that documentary that's out. He would be really... really happy.
But you didn't feel like any hangover effect or anything?
No, when she said, I heard another woman before I went in, "Ellen," they're yelling at this woman, Ellen, open your eyes, give her a couple minutes, Ellen, open your eyes, Ellen, like she was not waking up, and that kind of weirded me out.
Yeah.
I was like, what if I don't wake up? That would be kind of strange.
Yeah.
Especially because... Now that I came out of it, it's like, it's not like you remember anything. You just,
right.
You just be out. You just be gone. So she said she woke me right up and I was fine and stood up, to get dressed and whatever. And she goes, just sit in this chair over here. And just going from the bed to the chair, I was wobbly. I was a little like, whoa, okay. And then that was it. I came home and I had to bake some bread immediately because I was trying to send it to my friend. And you know, the timing of it, I had to get all like kind of into the... So I just came home. I was fine. I just did that. I did all my work.
Mm-hmm.
I meditated like late in the day and I slept really well last night. I think I still had it in my system. But it's not like, you know, getting drunk or high or something. Like, you have much more of a hangover.
Yeah.
That stuff was just...
Did your wife tell you you were talking crazy?
No, she did not. I was really lucid. By the time I saw my wife, I was like, there was no...
Well, that's what I thought, too.
I did. That was my one joke. The one joke I got off. I was making jokes the whole time, but the one joke I got at the end, Cynthia... Bella's laying back. Cynthia came in to retrieve me, and she comes in, and the nurse is there, and the nurse says hello to her and says, okay, did you sign... to my wife, did you sign all the paperwork to take him home? And she said, yes. And I said to the nurse, excuse me. And she leaned in. I said, who's this woman? That was my one joke. A pretty good one.
Yeah, that was good.
And then that was it. And then today, I had to go to the dentist because I had this filling that fell out like 2 weeks ago. And because I've been on the road, I haven't been able to get it fixed.
Oh,
so I went from them poking around in one end and then poking around in the other this morning. And I have to say, and you know, we've been doing this podcast for a long time. We both have horror shows, horror stories about dentists. You've actually gone to my old dentist, which was no pleasant experience. At this point in my life, after all of these years of being horrified with dentists, I can honestly say I love my dentist.
What?
Love him. Love him. It is one of the more pleasant places to go as far as doing your errands and things you have to do, like stuff you have to get done. It is one of the most pleasant places. It's better than the eye place. It's better than motor vehicles. It's better than the regular doctor. This guy is just, his personality's great. He's mellow. He's no BS. He's not upselling you. Everyone that works for him loves him. It's like a country little home, down home place. He does great work really quickly and keeps an eye on your insurance and sends you out the door. I'm telling you, all these little problems that you have are solved. I have never been so happy with a dentist in my entire life.
I think you're still on those drugs.
The only reason
this
I'm not
the lingering effect that you're saying how much you like the dentist.
The only reason I'm not going to plug him is because I don't want anyone else to go.
What have you done with Tom?
I'm telling you, how long have we been complaining about dentists?
Oh, forever.
Forever. And it's a hard thing to find nowadays because everybody knows, I think part of dental school is learning what you should charge your people and how much you should rip them off. Good news, everybody. The leaf blower guy just came once again. Right.
So wait,
on time.
You're not even going to tell me? I didn't even know you...
I'll tell you off air.
I didn't even know you left the other place. I knew you wanted to.
No, dude, I left them a year ago.
Because I had to go back.
I know.
And get the filling done. And they said that they never did the filling. And I'm like, if you don't have records, then we're in big trouble.
They are the worst.
So, but I was, the dentist I went to before that was 10 times worse than them.
That's insane. So, I don't know how that's even possible.
So it's, the dental thing is really the best thing to do. Well, here's the thing. It's hard to, you know, if you're in a small town and everyone knows the dentist.
Yeah.
And he's good.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
But if he's the only dentist, then it's a bad thing. But if you're in a big city like this, you really have to have a network of people to find somebody good because it's just hard.
I know. And I went to my buddy, who is a judge, and he had told me a long time ago that he really liked his dentist, and I hit him up and finally went to him. And this is, I don't know how many appointments, you know, because I had some stuff that really had to be taken care of. And, like, all week, I was running around. I tried to see him. I couldn't, you know, I was on the road doing my thing, and I couldn't hook up with him. Yeah. But I had a whole filling fallout. I had a big hole in my mouth. Just everything I ate was just in there, like, hanging out, like, in a cave.
Does it make you feel like a broken person when you have, like,
it does.
A tooth missing?
Totally. And, so I was there to, he was there to fix one other thing, and he had to do the other, and I had to do like a radio interview to this today. I'm like, well, I'm like, you can't get both done today. He's like, yeah, I'll get them both done. Get you out of here in an hour. Okay, yeah, no, we got it. Let's just do it. Okay, here we go. And the whole time he's got a wood burning oven. He's talking to me all about his bread and his pizzas that he makes. And he's just, I'm telling you, Paul, you've got to go to him.
Yeah.
It will change your life. To have a dentist that you don't like is a horror show. Because when you're not there, you're worried about when you have to go, and then when you do have to go, it's even worse, and you got to cancel. And this one, I don't even want to cancel. I look forward to it.
Right. Well, most of it is like you only get stuff done when you need to.
Right.
That shows you a lot. So if you go to a guy regularly and you keep tabs on stuff, like I still have stuff from last year. I'm gonna end up doing another Alaskan cruise to pay for my. My dental bill from
I'm telling you, go to this guy. He'll keep an eye on it. He'll make sure you can afford it. He'll do good work. And then you know what it is? It's I just enjoy competence. I just enjoy when somebody does what they're supposed to do and they do it well,
right?
With honesty and integrity.
Yes.
You just feel great, right? It's like when you go to get your car fixed and you have a good mechanic. And you know he did everything that he could, didn't rip you off, and he did the job right. There's a it reduces your stress. It just is such a pleasant experience, which doesn't happen in life very often.
Yeah.
So when you find someone who's good at their job, you wanna stick with them.
Well, that's what my buddy was saying, that he doesn't advertise like when he. You know, like sometimes a pro bono, a couple of things if, you know, somebody needs it or whatever. And then he said that person will tell 30 people how great you are.
Right.
He's like, that's not why you do it. It's good karma and stuff. But like word of mouth is so much better than like a billboard or like some kind of flyer. Like I would listen to you before I would listen to like any Yelp review.
100%. And, you know, there's so many shows out there, right? There's like 400 shows made now every year because of all the places that you can make shows, which is an astounding number, and it begs the question, why don't we have more things on TV? But I only bring it up because the things that are hits, it's word of mouth.
Right.
It's still, in this digital age, in this streaming culture, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel became a hit after they put it on Amazon, which nobody watches, and then everybody loved it and started telling each other, and that's how it spreads.
And then everyone
still
agreed.
To this day.
Everyone agreed the second season was terrible. The same people liked the first one.
Is that
it
true?
Works both ways.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. Word of mouth is very important. So that's why you have to do good work.
Yeah,
you know, that's why people hopefully come to our shows, and hopefully we'll come to the City Green event.
Quality control, Tom.
On Thursday. Yes. Do good work. So this is... So now my whole... Oh, and what he did today? he closed up a gap on in the back of my... Back right part of my mouth where all the food goes. Like, you know how... You have a spot where the food gets caught whenever
you
eat?
Throat. It's supposed to go down there. Maybe that's why you're losing so much weight. He blocked that off.
I just carried it in my teeth and then pick it out and throw it in the toilet. It's going to rain again. Look at this.
Yeah, it got dark. I could see it coming.
Man, oh man.
We had like some sun.
We are a soggy part of the world these days. So I'm going to tell you the advice that I got, and you tell me where I got the advice.
Okay.
You know, we like to live good lives. We like to do all the things you can to enjoy yourself and take care of yourself and enjoy the good things and try and be healthy. I don't know if that's our mission, but that's what came out.
I think you still have some propofol in your...
No, I'll tell you why I'm a little jacked up. Because I just got this advice, and I want to see if you can guess where I got it. First of all, be good. And if you can't be good, be safe.
Let's see. Smokey the Bear?
I'm going to give you some advice. I'm going to tell you what to do. But you reach down inside your heart, and you make those decisions yourself.
Tony Robbins? Is this guy cool or what? Or is it a lady?
You guys, put your butt in the saddle, and we're going to get to work.
Did you go to a TED Talk today or something?
This was my trainer on the Peloton bike this morning.
What? Oh, my God.
We got that Peloton bike.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't know you got it.
Yeah. The family is not exercising enough. And so we decided to get the Peloton bike. Our friend Erin Foley loves it. She says it's amazing. Keep seeing the ads. They look sexy. We decided we're going to get it. So I just, before you came, we had the extra half hour. So I jumped on the bike. Mm-hmm. And you can just get on the bike and go through the woods. You can go down the beach. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a big screen in your face. Or you can take a class.
Right.
We're not real class people. We're class acts. But we're not the type of people that go to classes too much. And a lot of the times, I've never been to a cycle class before. And now I've got a man in a sleeveless shirt with his big muscles and his ponytail yelling at me. Singing along to pop songs. I have no idea what they are.
That's hilarious.
I have to say, it was a really good workout. And I'm like, Tom, just stop it. Don't mm-hmm. judge this person. This is not the type of person you are attracted to. This is not the kind of person that you would ask to go any place with. But that's you being a small person, Tom. That is you. Not, you know what? You think you're so smart with your little books and your stand-up and your little critical attitude of everything. Nothing's cool enough and you know best. Just open your stupid mind and let Jordan take the reins. And I did.
Yeah.
And it made a half hour go a lot quicker than it was going up a trail in Vancouver.
Right.
You're doing that program and you have to motivate yourself. This guy keeps it going. He breaks it down into like little segments. Mm-hmm. And I was sweating my ass off at the end and had a, you know, good workout in 30 minutes.
Is this in your jeans?
No, I showered off and came up.
I wonder if they can use this idea, but this is what I thought about, mm-hmm. is most of the time you will ride a bike fast if you're being chased.
Uh-huh.
So I thought they could use movie scenes. So like when, like they could use, you got E.T. on the front of your bike and the government guys are chasing you. And then like in Karate Kid when Danielson's getting chased at the Halloween dance.
Right?
Yeah, you could just have, like, bad guys chasing you.
And then you put the screen behind you?
Yeah, I wonder, I guess you'd have to, like, put it in your mirror that you'd be able to see people behind you.
A fake rearview mirror?
Does the Peloton bike
have... Godzilla and King Kong come after you?
It doesn't have fake mirrors. Do you have to wear a helmet?
You don't have to wear a helmet, but you got to wear the clip-on shoes. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
It's not cheap. You got to pay and then you have to pay, like, a monthly Netflix fee.
Right.
To get all the classes and stuff. You know.
But it's the thing.
But it's worth, I mean, for four people, it's cheaper than a gym membership for one.
Right.
So, you know, and you can pay it off. It's whatever. And like today, you know, I wanted to just squeeze it in. The weather's kind of weird. You're coming over. I got to run around and do these errands. I just did it rather than go for a run out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
I just jumped on it, and it's a good thing to kind of like fill in. But anyway, you know, it's all working out, so whatever. But it feels like you're really close to this person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a nice screen. It's a big screen. And
yeah.
There's this, maybe a girl would be more fun for me.
Can they hear you?
They can't hear you, but if you join the class,
uh-huh.
like he did that class on Monday.
Right.
And then I just jump in. And it's kind of remarkable. And I'm, you know, gamers experience this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You're online. I mean, he did it yesterday, and now the class is just archived and it's up there. You jump on, and it ranks you with whoever is doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
It ranks like your performance, how fast you're going, how hard you're doing, with these people all around the country.
Yeah.
There's like, this guy's in Florida, this guy's in Vermont, whatever, and then when he's on it, it's like when you go on Facebook Live. He's like, when he's doing it live, he's like, okay, Paul, 35, keep going. It's your, yeah. Okay, Carol, it's your 40th birthday. A big shout out to Carol. All right, guys, we're going to go. We're going to get up this mountain in 3, 2, 1. Off the bike. Let's go. Off the seat. Let's go. And it's kind of, it is pretty trippy that
mm-hmm.
you're doing it with all these other people. It's like one of the positive things of technology. Whenever there's something like, you know, inspiring that you're actually connecting with other human beings in faraway places. I mean, that's
yeah.
pretty.
So where do you rank on the list of unprofessional stationary bike riders?
I was, when I started pedaling, it starts you off and I'm at like number 2000. That's like your entry,
mm-hmm.
last place. And then I hovered comfortably around 750.
Is it distance or time?
It's time. 30-minute class. 30-minute advanced beginner class. Uh-huh. And like the settings and stuff, I wasn't really like killing it. Like I wasn't super high.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing what he was saying to do. And I probably could have done more. I don't know. You got to figure it out. But it gets you going like the same way that my Apple Watch does. And it's like, you know, you haven't worked out today. It's like seeing that you're 700 and you're like, if I crank it up, will I pass those people?
Mm-hmm.
Like it starts to encourage you.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But the biggest thing is really, I think for me, was the acceptance that I could be with someone who I would probably mock in my act.
Yeah, yeah.
And just go for it. Just leave the judgment behind. And
right.
We're just too observational, I think, is our problem. You know what I mean? It's why it took me like a long time to find a yoga class that I could go to when I was doing yoga heavily. I found it took a long time to find the normal teacher who wasn't too hippy dippy was, you know, because, you know, we're not those. Our whole thing is ripping stuff apart and making fun of it.
Yeah.
And now you got a guy with a big ponytail clapping and telling you to live your best life.
I know you can't answer this honestly, but if it was just a beautiful woman teaching the class and very little clothing, would it make a difference?
I think it would help immensely. As I was thinking about it, the only reason I didn't go for one of the beautiful female teachers was because of the music. I don't understand this thing at all, but they show you the songs that you're going to be listening to,
and
the first couple were like, there was one. And she was attractive, and it was the right. I was going by looks and by time, how long the class was,
mm-hmm.
And then the music was a thing. And one of the descriptions was, it was like all these songs I didn't really know. And it said, if you just want to get a quick workout in, or just want to party out on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, nope. There's no one. There's no one beautiful enough that's going to make me party out on the bike. It's not happening.
Yeah.
But like all things, I'd much rather be talking to a woman, looking at a woman,
yeah,
being taught by a woman. I have no, you know, dudes I just want to watch games with, ride cars with. I don't like guys that much.
Well, it's also like, what's your...
when they're in that capacity.
Right.
I'll hang with guys. That thing, it's just like, get out of here.
Well, it's like, what's your expertise? Like, if Lance Armstrong is teaching a class, I'll listen.
Yeah.
But who is this guy?
I know. Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's just personalities. It's like, right. You see a guy with no shirt on and a ponytail. Mm. What are you doing? This guy's trying to hook up with girls.
And yeah, that's why
he's like the guy who's playing the acoustic guitar and singing about feminism.
Right.
You know, you're a fraud.
It's an angle.
You're just trying to hook up with somebody.
Oh, it's porn now.
Oh, geez, look at that.
Well, this is my other business model for... We've already have the movie scenes for the Peloton bike. Now, yeah. I believe that Freddie Mercury would be the world's greatest spin class instructor.
Who?
Freddie Mercury.
Oh.
So some way of having Freddie Mercury, or even hire the guy who played him in the movie to just teach a spin class. Because he's got all the music. Get on your bikes and ride. He could do all the... Fat Bottom Girls, Bicycle Race, We Are the Champions.
I'm sure there's Queen on there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could do it. Wow, it's really raining.
Maybe a Freddie Mercury impersonator to teach the spin class.
I think you should tweet at the at our good friends at the Pelotons. So anyway, it was pretty good. But let's get off the exercise part of all this and the healthcare part of this. I did the Live From Here show in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as I said before, where it was minus 12 degrees. And I put on Instagram a ticket offer for some fans if they wanted to come. And I hooked up like six people to come. And one of the fans knew my bread work, of course. You know, we're fans of my bread. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's cute that she can bring over some bread. That's very nice of her. Or I think it was a her. It was a family. And they said, we made bread in this. And they sent me a picture on Instagram of this amazing wood-burning oven in Minneapolis.
And that's what they make there?
And she made pita bread. Yeah, Hannah. Look at that. Look at that pita bread.
That's awesome.
Is that amazing?
That's
gave
like
me a whole bag of it with za'atar, which is that sumac-based herb, and a bottle of olive oil, and a big bag of bread. Of course, this was the night before my prep for the colonoscopy, so I just carried it home and didn't get to eat it right away. But I'll give you some, and just toast it, put a little olive oil on it. Oh, my God. It is so good. Look at that oven. Can you see it?
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's outside?
Outside. Yeah, it's a big wood-burning oven.
That's great.
This might make me want to live in... negative 12 degree weather. If I could have land like that, oh my God. There's a dog like sitting underneath it. So a big thank you to Hannah for this amazing pita bread. And they just must, to have an oven like that, you could bake anything.
That's super cool.
I was talking to these food people and they were telling me that I should be doing a bread pop-up.
Yeah.
Like just do a pop-up store for like a day?
As many as you can make.
I know, but I don't.
It'd be like 30, right?
It would be like 30. How many would I have to make to do? I'd be out of business in an hour.
Right. Well, that's the...
pop-ups work?
You don't want to be there more than an hour anyway, do you?
And maybe that'll make everybody want it more.
Exactly. They'll
be like, this guy makes the best bagels in L.A.
Supply and demand.
But you got to get there 2 hours before because... He only makes 30, and he'll only sell you two each.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way to do it. Because I made him again last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you.
You got it?
I've got it.
Nice.
The kids don't even want to go for bagels at the bagel shop anymore.
Wow, that's good.
I know. I know.
What's the twist? Can you do sesame?
Sesame, poppy, and plain.
The
big deal is that it's got... The trick is that I'm using my sourdough starter. That's the key. That's what's giving it the flavor.
Somebody's at the house.
Across the way?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been... They're rehabbing it.
Oh, I thought they were... Remember when we had to watch for intruders?
Yeah, no, that's the other house. The one that we went to look out for intruders, people have moved into.
Oh, okay.
This is the one next to it that was empty also, and they're renovating inside.
Oh, because I've never seen that garage door open.
Yeah, weird, right?
Well, there's two guys holding it open. That's why it looked weird.
Yeah. Because it won't stay closed. So, yes, wood-burning oven. And then I go to my dentist, and he's talking about how he has one that's, like, on wheels that he has in his yard. And I'm thinking, I just assumed that you couldn't have a wood-burning oven in L.A. because there's so many fires.
Yeah.
But I got to check it out a little deeper. I think I might be able to.
Yeah, I bet. By your pool there?
Yeah, stick it by the grill.
Yeah.
I would... That would be great. As long as they're safe and I'm not lighting my neighbor's homes on fire. That wouldn't be worth it.
Bamboo doesn't burn that easily anyway.
So no, it doesn't. But you don't want like an ember going and starting. I don't know. I got to look into the rules. But if the rules are say I can do it,
yeah,
I think it's about time.
Yeah, that's
and
awesome.
And then if you, I mean, that'll change everything. Because then you can just do quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And then Papa's Bagels are born.
And then you put the... Put your daughters to work.
Yeah. You all guys, summer long.
You guys want to stay here past age 16, you got to pull your weight.
Yeah. I was thinking that today. I came home and I was sweeping out the garage, which, you know, we've been collecting a lot of stuff because it's been horrible weather. And sweeping out the garage, I was like, this was my job every week. Mm-hmm. And I was like, thinking my father didn't really care whether the garage was clean. He just cared that I was sweeping every
doing
week.
Doing something.
Yeah. And I don't have that thing for my kids. They're good kids. You know, they've improved in the kitchen stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, they take care of the whatever they got to take care of. But there's no, like, household chore.
Right.
Like, sweep the garage or skim the pool or rake the leaves. They've got a pretty cush.
Yeah, you have people hired. Well, I mean, my dad loved mowing the lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, loved doing it.
Yeah.
So I never did that. Like, I did it a couple times for money, like, for other people.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think I ever mowed our lawn maybe once or twice. And they live in Florida now where they have all the groundskeeper people. They do everything at all the houses. So you can tell it's kind of like a thing where
he's bummed out,
trying to figure out what to do.
Maybe he should just get a job. He just get a mower and just go like cut some lady's lawn, like when he was a teenager.
They do stuff like that once in a while, but they you know, like I told you, they got the bocce ball league and the ping pong league, and they play golf, and they got the art show.
Yeah, but it's not. I bet none of it is as satisfying as cutting the lawn.
No, that was when I was when we were driving from Elmira. That's when I first started driving that highway, and you see how there's that big, almost like a whole field in the middle,
mm-hmm.
and the guys that got to cut that lawn.
Yeah,
I was like, those guys are making a difference. You know what I mean? It's like that place. It's like getting a haircut. It's like,
yeah.
You're keeping the world in order. I always thought that was like a really good job.
Yeah, I could see that's a good retirement job. Why not?
Satisfying.
Old dude lawn service.
Yeah.
Just get like three houses. And you and a couple buddies. You go and you cut the lawns. You have a beer at the end of it. That's a good job.
Right.
Make a little dough. Very little, but you make some dough, and then you get out there, you get the smell of the grass, you get to go outside, you do your thing. That's a great model, actually. Mm-hmm. Take any job you had in high school, like when you're starting out, cutting lawns, paper route, babysitting, and just do that as an old person. Right.
Paint houses.
Paint. Yeah, that's a good idea. My other retirement job, which I like, is working at the ballpark.
Yeah.
I had an old guy at Wrigley Field, like, bring me down to my seat and took his little rag out. He was, like, 85 years old, and he dusted the seat off, took my tickets, and I said, enjoy the game, and he gets to watch baseball and bring people to their seats.
Yeah.
I was like, that's good. This guy's nailing it. This is a great job.
Even all those theaters that we're doing that have the ushers and stuff.
Yes.
They get to see the show.
Yeah, working a movie place, working an ice cream shop. You might be too weak. It has to be soft serve.
Well, that's always fun when I remember, well, it was NJ Pack we did, and there was like, you know, a place like that, there's like 50 people working there as ushers.
Yeah.
And so when I go back to like take a couple pictures, you know, all the old ladies are like, you know, usually you think they're like being professional, like, oh, you were so funny.
Like they talk yeah, they to get to watch the like shows.
That. Yeah.
This is a great model. Do just get the jobs you started with.
Yeah. That's keeping people out of, well, that's when McDonald's and all those jobs come into play. Cause it's like, do you want to go back to that? If you did that?
No, no, you don't want to work for somebody. That's the problem. You don't want to work for some, you don't want like a boss really. I mean, if it's at like, you know, Yankee Stadium, that's fine. But you don't want like a fast food boss in your face.
I got the idea though. Seasonal work. That's the name that I want.
Seasonal work. So like you do ice cream shop in the summer.
Yep.
And then what do you do in the winter? Shovel driveways?
Nothing if you don't want to.
Your seasonal work ends with one season.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Mardi Gras today. What do you do?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Nothing.
Not here.
Nothing really. I was trying to think of like what to make. I'm not making gumbo. I'm not
jambalaya.
Making jambalaya. I'm not making beignets. Beignets you could make, but it's a lot of oil.
Yeah.
I decided I'm not doing any of it. We ordered a king cake from when I did the baked show. Gambino's.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the big bakery down there that people mail order and stuff. My daughter got a king cake from them. But, you know, Mardi Gras only really affects one place. The rest of us, you know.
Right. It's just whatever. A term everyone else knows.
Yeah. It's not going to have any effect. And then tomorrow's Ash Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to give up for Lent?
Girl Scout cookies.
You just bought them. You're just going to torture yourself?
But then we have St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Coming up.
I loved St. Patrick's Day when I was in New York City. I loved it.
What was the...
There's a parade. There's a lot of Irish bars. There's a lot of Irish people. You just roll into a bar in the morning and you could have a real good time.
So you got up early to drink.
Yep. Got up a little earlier than normal, went to go sit in a bar with Irish folk. Everyone's having a great time and you're hammered by noon.
Yeah.
That's a good time.
Yeah. I like being in weird places for... I remember I was in Hong Kong for St. Patrick's Day. That was great.
No, did anyone know it was St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, they did. We were in an Irish bar. Ah. So that was like their marketing thing. And then I've been in, because it's usually right around spring break.
Yeah.
It's like the beginning or end of spring break.
Right, right.
So I remember being in like Daytona Beach or like I'll be in Florida again for it.
You know what else is good? And you tell me if this syncs up. I don't think it is this year. Oh, no, I guess it will because it's in a couple weeks. A lot of times, St. Patrick's Day, you're watching the beginning of the college basketball tournament.
Right, right, the March Madness.
It'll be
like almost the beginning.
Yeah, because
like,
I think it falls on a Sunday this year.
Well, they'll have like all the conference tournaments will still be going on. And
right.
Then,
are they now? Are the conference tournaments...
Not yet.
Not yet.
I think usually the championship game is like March 31st.
I'm paying a little more attention to college basketball this year.
Like I've
seen a bunch of games. Yeah, I like the length of it.
Yeah.
It's short. It's fun. And I've been watching a lot of, my buddies are like big Michigan, Wisconsin fans.
Okay.
And Duke. And so I've been following it out of the corner of my eye, but I feel like if my schedule allows, it'd be fun to focus a little more on the tournament this year.
Yeah.
And spring training, baby. There's baseball happening. Mm-hmm. So exciting.
And I think Final Four, I'll have to check. It might be in Minneapolis. So
oh,
maybe
yeah?
Maybe you'll be there for it.
Oh, my God. I hope not. I mean, not that I don't want to go, but I've been there way too many times.
It's exciting because I will be in spring training this time next week.
Mm-hmm.
So you start catching up and seeing all the video of everybody playing.
Right.
And you like get excited about baseball season. It's pretty cool.
So exciting. I love the feeling that it's coming. And here, out here, it's like you start to watch spring training. You're like, oh, I can feel it. And it's getting warmer. And I think we turn the clocks this weekend. Mm-hmm. So it's all starting to happen. And then you go back east. You're like, oh, we're not even close. it feels like it's never going to happen. All right, well, we got to roll. This was another good podcast. We're going to do a bonus one for the Patreon friends this week. We will post that up right away. So if you're a subscriber, you get bonus podcast. Everybody else, thank you so much. And what are we all going to do? We're going to go to City Green. We're going to go to TomPapa.com and get my sister off my case. Go to Paul's website for all of Paul Morrissey's wonderful dates. And enjoy your life.